Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Now, a fascinating but a tragic story. The family of Belfast man John Crawford, murdered by the UVF in 1974, have revealed that the Loyalist paramilitary group has now given them a full account of what happened following a lengthy process with an interlocutor. At the end of the process, John Crawford's son, Paul, was given a report written on UVF-headed notepaper, which the family says gives them some resolution to their father's murder. Paul Crawford joins me now from Belfast to tell me about, Paul, your four-decade search for answers and truth about your father's murder. You're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much. Yes, my father was killed on the 9th of January, 1974, so we're on 49 years.
It's an incredible story, really, and your campaign has gone on for more than four decades. What happened to your father, Paul?
My father owned a small furniture manufacturing factory, and on the 9th of January 1974, UVF volunteer unit took his life as he was finishing work for the day before he left the factory, and then his body was left in the laneway, in a ditch, basically, in the laneway leading to the factory.
My goodness. And he was a father of nine children, nine in your family. Why did they kill him? What did they say?
Well, there was a book came out. There was no light on it. There was many rumours. They didn't claim it at the time. And there was many rumours about who done it and all sorts of stuff, which were all nonsense. And one of those rumours was that my father had killed two people 3 years previously, which we knew to be false. And I wanted to clear my father's name, and I wanted an admission or, you know, an acknowledgement that they had done it. So for the first 3 or 4 years, we actually were just listening to many different rumours. Then in 1978, a person was arrested for something else. He was a UVF volunteer, and he admitted several things, one of them being that he was the driver of the car when my father's life was taken. So at that point, it was clear to us that the UVF had taken his life.
But you had to live, and you said about your campaign to clear his name, which you have done now. And your father had no truck but violence, no political links at all. Is that right, Paul?
The HET report confirmed specifically in regard to the two killings that he was rumoured to have done that they had neither evidence nor intelligence that my father was involved in any of that. He did, of course, have his own politics and his own beliefs, but he was not involved in that.
He was brutally murdered, Paul. And there's an added tragedy in the sense that his body was found on your little sister's fourth birthday, which I can't imagine the impact that had on your mum, who I know has passed away now at this stage, and all of your siblings.
Yeah, everybody in the family, their life completely changed from that day. I had the family gone, and unfortunately not a unique story right across the community. You know, anybody who lost anybody, no matter who the victim or the victim maker, they lost a family member, and we lost a lovely father. The experience, we all have our own unique experience. You know, I was 17 at the time. My eldest brother was mid to late 20s, and it was my youngest sister's fourth birthday when he was found. So we, you know, there's a very different process in memory between a 20-odd-year-old and a 4-year-old.
Did your mum ever recover?
But they're all all equally valid.
Oh, equally valid. And I can't imagine, as I say, the trauma. But did your mum ever recover, Paul?
No, my mom really just didn't want to go on after it, keeping the family together as best she could. Me, myself, I ended up actually by the age of 18 going in and doing my father's job and running the factory, which was then 3 years later the factory was burnt, and that was the end of that. We don't know who actually burnt the factory. So, you know, there was other consequences in that.
Yeah. And life was tough. Life was tough in the 1970s and 80s, economically, and dealing with the trauma and a parent gone. It just was not easy. But you started, as you say, shortly after all of that, the campaign, and your resilience is incredible, Paul, you and your family, to clear your father's name and to find out what happened. Can I bring you forward then to finding out finally and arriving at a situation where you got involved with an interlocutor? Can you tell people about that?
We had been through the police ombudsman. We had been through an inquest. We had the autopsy report. None of them produced anything. In fact, to this day, they can't even confirm the date of death as the 9th of January. So I exhausted all legal available channels, and they produced virtually nothing. Then the Stormont House Agreement was announced, and it offered hope, but the government completely failed to implement it to this day. And so I, on a rough sketch of what I thought that would look like, and I set about gaining the services of an interlocutor after two failed attempts.
Okay.
Winston Irvine agreed, and then from that point, we co-designed and we just took things as they came, over a period of 7 years, led to this report.
Okay. So just to let people know, Winston Irvine is a leading loyalist. Can I bring you, and you over 7 years, you worked together to build up trust and communicate and collaborate, and you trying to find out what happened and how your father was killed and so on. Bring people to the point then where you were given an envelope.
Well, I had received full, honest and verifiable answers to all my questions. I had, through various methods, such as freedom of information requests and privileged access, and the help of the Paper Trail Victims Charity, got documents and was able to verify what they told me. And at the end of it, Winston came in and totally, I wasn't expecting it. And he said, "Paul, that's for you, and I'm going to go and get the two of us a cuppa here. You take your time and read that." And he left me then for several minutes while I read it. When I opened the envelope, it was actually a report on headed paper confirming the main points of what they told me, acknowledging that they had indeed, their volunteers had indeed taken his life, and that the information that they acted on, they now accepted, was erroneous, and so cleared his name. And that was exactly what I had requested. It's what was delivered, but the report was over and above and showed really good faith. I'd not requested that. And just to finish on that point, I understand that is the first and only time that the UVF leadership have issued such a report since they were founded in 1913.
The first time since 1913 that any victim of a murder or crime could sit down with UVF headed paper. It is incredible, really, and read what happened. Did that take place in an office or a house, Paul? And how did you feel actually having read the report?
The meetings took place in many different places that were safe for both myself and the interlocutor, so I really don't want to go into...
No, I understand that, but was it a house or an office setting?
It was a sort of office setting in a neutral environment.
And how did you feel then, having read it, getting all the answers?
It was a huge moment. It was very emotional. It took a while to actually sink in how significant it was and remains extremely significant. It shows that they, and you know, I don't believe in closure because we cannot bring back the dead or replace a lost limb. And what I aim for is the greatest resolution possible. I believe that, that this process has brought me that. And it shows that they interlocutors, with the right interlocutor, you can reach people who are currently unreachable. Mm-hmm. Because people who went to jail are only the known people. There's a whole command structure, just like any corporate body.
Yeah. And that's this system then of interlocutors that you went through. It's part of the Stormont House Agreement from 2014, as you say. Is it in jeopardy because of the legacy bill? Did I understand that correctly?
It has been removed from this legacy bill. I call it Fantasy Island for a number of reasons. It cannot and will not deliver. You need to have a victim involved. You need to have the interlocutor with the necessary integrity, honesty and skills, as Winston had, able to deliver on your question, and it needs to be verifiable.
Yeah.
My previous experience in using government structures didn't tell me anything at all. So the current legacy bill is not fit for purpose. No avenue should be shut to victims.
And you're one of many people, Paul, saying that as well. Can I ask you finally, though, there's a very sour irony, I would say, in I think what I'm about to ask you, perhaps, and you can tell me, are you grateful to the UVF after all these years, having campaigned for all these years about the truth about your father's murder? Could it be that you're grateful to them for the information?
I have absolutely no support for the UVF in general. Let's be clear, it will never be okay that my father's life was taken. But what I do appreciate is that they engaged with me with integrity and with honesty, and they answered my questions in full. And it demonstrates that they are willing to help victims. And in particular, it also demonstrates that possibly the, you know, politically motivated ex-prisoner population may well have played a key role in that, because they're the only people who know. Out of one person going to jail and maybe 30 people, 20 to 30 people involved in the chain between command and logistics, the interlocutor can reach the unreachable. And this process, initially signed by me, but developed and co-designed as we went along, between myself and the interlocutor and the interlocutor and the UVF. So I don't want to be in a position of saying thanks, because it will sound like I'm thanking somebody for taking my father's life, and that is just not acceptable.
Yeah.
But I will be very clear, I really do appreciate that they have engaged with me with integrity and they have delivered.
Well, the legacy of the Troubles, as it's called, and I know people don't like that word, is extremely complex, but perhaps you have designed a way forward for other victims of crime. May your father, John Crawford, rest in peace. And I hope you have a degree, you and your family, a degree of peace of mind after all of this. Paul Crawford, thank you very much indeed for joining us from Belfast.